This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The Trump administration's Environmental Protection Agency is holding the first and so far only public hearing to collect comments on the repeal of Obama-era carbon pollution regulations. Glennis Board reports.
The EPA's Administrator Scott Pruitt announced his intent to repeal the Clean Power Plan during a trip last month to Kentucky. Now the agency is returning to Appalachia's coal country to collect comments on ending the plan. Almost 300 energy and policy experts are scheduled to talk during the two-day public hearing in Charleston. Speakers include industry players like Bob Murray of Murray Energy Corporation, lawyers from the Natural Resources Defense Council, as well as legislators and public officials like West Virginia's Attorney General, who led the legal battle against the rule. The Clean Power Plan was finalized in 2015 and sought to cut greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S. by a third by 2030. The Supreme Court halted implementation in February 2016. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.
Napoleon famously said that an army marches on its stomach. Troops must be fed in order to fight. But what happens when that army fights hunger back home? Tens of thousands of U.S. military veterans struggle with homelessness and hunger. As the holidays approach, a pilot program in the Ohio Valley aims to serve those who serve their country. Nicole Irwin reports.
Everyone at Pennyroyal Veterans Center in Hopkinsville, Kentucky knows Sandra DeCarley.
I'm almost the favorite because I'm the cook.
DeCarley is the kitchen supervisor. Each day she prepares hot meals for the 50 veterans residing at the temporary housing facility. As the temperatures continue to cool and the holidays get closer, more hungry veterans are expected to reach out to the center for a warm meal and a place to lay their head.
I see that on a weekly basis. It's a sad thing to see, but they come in down and out, hungry, skinny, and when they leave, they're happy, fat, and hopefully out to live a successful life.
The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development estimate 39,000 vets were homeless in 2016. In the Ohio Valley region, estimates show around 1,500 homeless veterans. In an effort to reach out to those veterans, Feeding America, the nation's largest hunger relief organization, has partnered with the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs in the first Veterans Pantry Pilot Program.
I served in the late 80s, 85 to 89, United States Air Force, Forward Eagle Strike and Mobility Center. Basically, we were on the peripheral side of the conflicts that were going on in South America and Central America.
This is Mr. H. He prefers not to use his full name. He's at the Pennyroyal Center recovering after a double bypass heart surgery. For several years, he's been on the move from one job to the next. As he travels cross-country, he meets other pockets of veterans who he says could really benefit from the pantry program.
In the middle part of the country, especially the Rockies, we have a very, very large veteran population, and they're there for one reason, isolation. They don't like the government, any government.
But some do visit the VA for health screenings. That's where Chad Morrison, executive director at the Mountaineer Food Bank in Martinsburg, West Virginia, says he and other food providers can step in.
Are there veterans that are coming to their hospital that are having food insecurity issues? And the answer was yes. And we started brainstorming, what can we do about it?
Morrison says there have to be willing participants. Not all VA locations have the resources to provide the space for food or the additional staff. Under the program, VA healthcare providers ask patients whether they have run out of food or struggled to pay for it within the past 3 months. If they say yes, patients are connected to a local food pantry or community program.
You know, we just decided to make it happen. You know, it was something that was important to us and it was important to them.
Only 10 hospitals in the U.S. have signed up for the pilot. Three of those are located in the Ohio Valley region. West Virginia has two participating VA hospitals in Martinsburg and Beckley, and Ohio has one in Cincinnati. Back at Pennyroyal Veterans Center, DeCarley is preparing dinner.
And we have lima beans boiling back here, poor seasoned with bacon grease.
Mr. H will be standing in line. He says he doesn't know what he would do without a place like Pennyroyal, which is providing the round-the-clock care needed after his extensive surgery.
I'm not entitled. Being here is not a privilege. It's not a right. It's an accessible honor. It's something I earn, but that doesn't mean I'm entitled. Same with the VA and their services. But it's free. Nothing's free.
Like any pilot project, the Veterans Pantry program will have to find funding if hospitals want to increase participants. The Mountaineer Food Bank estimates one food box will cost around $25 per month. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Nicole Irwin in Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Becoming sunny today with highs in the 60s, clear skies tonight with lows in the 30s and 40s, sunshine on Wednesday with highs in the 50s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Employer services at wvdrs.org. Take part in Giving Tuesday by donating to West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Go to our website, wvpublic.org. In this next episode of our occasional series, Windows into Healthcare, where we hear from health experts around the state, health reporter Carol Lofton sits down with Department of Health and Human Resources Cabinet Secretary Bill Crouch to talk about his work and what he feels are the biggest health issues facing the state. The
biggest problem is drugs, and it's affecting virtually every department in DHHR. We have 80% of our children in foster homes are from families who have had drug problems, either the overdoses by the mother or addiction by the mother. We have a large number of NAS babies, neonatal abstinence syndrome, and these babies need special care. So the problems are affected a lot by drugs. That's not our only problems. We have obesity in West Virginia. We're number one in obesity. We're number one in cardiovascular disease, number one in diabetes. So there are a lot of health problems that are difficult to tackle because they require a change in behavior. And changing people's behavior is one of the toughest things to do in healthcare.
One of the things that I'm hearing from health professionals who are dealing with the addiction problem that is in this state is not only how do we help change the behavior of existing users, but how do we prevent future users and how do we impact West Virginia's youth? I mean, what is the DHHR's approach to that?
Yeah, our death rate in West Virginia to opioids and drugs is over twice the national average. We have a problem that I believe is a community problem. This has to happen from the bottom up, not the top down. I can speak all day long, and Dr. Gupta, our public health officer, can speak. Jim Justice, our new director of the Office of Drug Control Policy, who was in the same position in the city of Huntington for the past several years, can speak. It doesn't change things. We have to have change at the local level. So we're working on an approach that involves folks at the local level helping to tackle this problem. We need an intervention early on these issues.
So when you say approaching from the local level and from a community approach, I mean, those are pretty broad terms. Can you describe more specifically what you mean by that?
Well, that's what I've charged this department with, this office with developing. But it could include a social worker. It could include a professional from the local behavioral mental health program, behavioral health program. It could include someone from the local health department. It could include someone from emergency medical services. It needs to be a team of individuals who really are charged with going out and developing an intervention with an individual. A good example of what has happened in the past is in Huntington in August of last year, 2016, we had 26 individuals overdose within a few hours. Our Department of Public Health was contacted a few days later and asked to do an epidemiological study to determine the outcome of that and to determine any factors that might help prohibit that in the future. That report was done, I believe, completed in January, and it showed not one of those individuals went for treatment. So what that tells me is we need a local team at the local level to contact those folks immediately and see if we can get people into treatment sooner and convince them that that is the way to go. They have to change that lifestyle. If nothing is done, in fact, we have a number of individuals who overdose two or three times a day, and so we have to have some intervention at the local level to have an impact on that.
West Virginia is a poor state, and we struggle with our economy. So when we're looking at interventions, which can be quite expensive, how does money and lack of money impact our ability to spread resources to those who might need them?
That's a great question. We started out last year's budget, as you probably know, with a $500 million deficit. It looks like we're gonna start out the next fiscal year with a $250 or $280 million deficit. So we don't have a lot of money. The legislature played a great role in the last session in passing a bill called the Ryan Brown Fund, in which settlement money from the pharmaceutical companies was placed into an account called the Ryan Brown account to be used to develop treatment beds in West Virginia. That is one of the areas that we're lacking. We don't have enough treatment beds in West Virginia for folks that need those treatment beds. Even when you get them, when you convince them that they need treatment, we have to have a place to place those individuals. So that was a big help. But we're struggling with the cost of this this public health problem in West Virginia. We get funds from the federal government from time to time, and we look for every grant we can get to try to provide funds down at the local level to combat this problem. But it's a barrier to fixing the problem.
Let's swing back around to kind of what you do as secretary and some of the things that you encounter. What are the biggest challenges of your job?
The biggest is probably the responsibility for the children that DHHR is responsible for caring for through the foster care program and others, residential programs. I really had no idea of the amount of responsibility that involves. So that's been a little eye-opener to me.
Foster care and caring for children is something you've mentioned a couple of times. So let's talk about this a little bit. What's happening with West Virginia's children?
We have a large number of children who are there because of the drug problem. We have more than doubled the number of children in foster care in the last 10 years. We do not have enough foster families. Many of our children now end up going to extended families, either grandparents, aunts, uncles. We're trying to recruit more foster families, but that's difficult. It's a large responsibility. It's a huge burden, but it's amazing the number of folks who have stepped up and who are trying to help children. It is not an easy thing to do. We seem to have a lack of placement in a lot of the areas that we're responsible for. We're examining that right now to look and see if there is more we can do in that area.
That was health reporter Kara Lofton speaking with DHHR's Cabinet Secretary Bill Crouch. Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health, Charleston Area Medicine, and WVU Medicine. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Liz McCormick. I'm Teresa Wills.